Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Aleph, and we're holding at Tudatz, which is a quote from our Halakha Mishnah, right at the bottom of Nun Amud Beis. So the quote from the Mishnah goes like this. If a guy says, Shvitati bi'ikaro, if the person is far away, and he has in mind that he wants his Makam Shvisa at the actual trunk of the tree, then there's no problem. And he's able to get as much as 4,000 amas from the place where he's currently located and up to 2,000 amas to the tree and then 2,000 amas past the tree to get to his house and nimtza malach mishech hashechar bat alafim ama, which means that he would be able to walk a full 4,000 amas. Now, Rava says it actually depends on the situation. I can't get it to stop bothering me either. So it depends on the situation. It's only going to be true where he's actually physically, theoretically, he's physically able to get to the place where he wants to apparate to. But if he couldn't get to it by regular methods, like running, so then he's not considered to be within range. Amalei Abaye, I don't understand. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says it got dark, right? So it got dark means he can't go any further. If he can't go any further, so there's nothing to do at that point. You're claiming if he can still go further, then why does the Mishnah say he can't go further? So v'chashka lo katani, says Rava, that just means chashka lo beito. It means it's too late for him to get home. That's what it means. But it doesn't mean that it's too late for him to get to the place where he wants to go. That was one thing that he told him. So he actually could have gotten the Ikaro Shel Ilan. Or others say, you know what Rava answered him? Rava answered him. It means it's Choshkalo for the way he was walking. But, I mean, look, if he wanted to run as fast as he could possibly run, I mean, theoretically, he could get there. That's good enough. I mean, he has absolutely no intention of running the whole way. That's not a problem. But if he couldn't even get there if he was running, then there'd be no way he could make that Eruv. Now, Rabba and Rav Yosef were going along the road, and it was one of these Erev Shabbatot, and the question was, they needed to be able to get back and be in a place that they were far away from at this moment. So Rabba says to Rav Yosef, tell me, I would like our Mokum Shvisa to be underneath that famous dekel, the palm tree, that he has the other palm tree leaning on it. Or some say he says, I want the Mokum Shvisa to be under that palm tree that saves the guy for paying taxes. What does that mean? It means that he made so much money off of the single tree that he didn't have to worry about his taxes. Okay, fine. Do you know where that is? Yodalemar, do you know where that tree is? He said, I don't know where that is. So Rabbi says, don't worry. This is where the original expression in Eretz Yisrael comes from. Smoke alai. Oh, that was the end. Okay, just rely on me, and I will get you there, okay? So in other words, you give your Mokum Shvisa that you're going to be Shevis with me. Because after all, it says in the Braita that Rabbi Yossi said, if you have two people there, and one of them is Makir, one of them is not Makir, so the one who isn't Makir can be Moser is Mokum Shvisa to the guy who is Makir. And in this case, I am the Makir. So the one who is Makir, then he can say, I want it to be under that famous palm tree, even though you know where that palm tree is. Now, the truth is, this was a little bit sneaky of Rabba, who did not want to get into a big discussion with Rabbi Yosef on Erev Shabbos, because he knew that it was going to take forever if they keep talking. So basically what he did was he lied a little bit. You see, it really was not Rabbi Yossi who had said this. It was just the Braisa, no? But he made it Rabbi Yossi because he knew that otherwise Rabbi Yosef would have driven him nuts. Well, how do we know we can paskin like that? And I'm not semich on this Braisa. And was the Braisa. So he just said that he knew that was not luck. He said, yeah, and Rabbi Yossi says, remember, Rabbi Yossi is Nimuko Imo. So it's like, you know, this business of Rabbi Yashiv said, it started a long time ago. Rabbi Yashiv never said, and Rabbi Yossi never said, but it's okay. The people are convinced that that's not locha. Rabbi Yashiv said that's not locha. Anyways, it says the Gemara Velohi, this never happened. Rabbi Yossi never has ever said this halacha. The only reason that Rabbi told him that that's not from Rabbi Yossi is because he wanted Rabbi Yossi to accept the halacha and not fight with him, because Rabbi Yossi is Nimuko Imo. And as we said, the halacha always goes like that. Anyway, so then the next thing in the Mishnah talks about the case of either. The Mishnah is really confusing, and we're going to get to try to figure out, because the Mishnah doesn't say exactly what we're arguing about. Remember, the Mishnah has two separate cases, right? It has a case of the guy who's apparating, and it has the case of the guy who says, let my Mokab Shvisa be right here. Okay, so about that case, we're not sure where there's a machlokas, because Rabbi Meir says, well, you know, this is special for an oni. It's not clear what's special for an oni. Apparating is special for an oni, or even not putting down an Erev and using your feet, even where you are. I mean, that part isn't clear. We're going to have to deal with that afterwards. We're going to skip that issue for a moment, and let's try to understand, where does this come from? I mean, the Mishnah takes it like for granted, and we've been taking it for granted all along, that there is such a thing as 2,000 Amas. And if it's not 2,000 Amas, then it's the 4 Amas. And I mean, like, we don't know where does all of that come from, Bichlal? So, Hani Alpayim Amma. Exactly, where does this come from? Where does it say in the Torah Alpayim Amma? Now, of course, as we know, almost all of the Shittas in the Gemara is that Alpayim Amma is definitely a Drabbana. And therefore, we have to understand that this entire discussion that we're about to embark on, which is a very complex series of Gzeres Shavas, that it's actually Esmachtas of Gzeres Shavas, and they were not Gzeres Shavas that were Mekubalim Alok HaLabashim Sinai. Because of that, they're not really biting, but we're being Semach on them for the Rabbanan Shir of the Alpayim Amma. So basically, remember that we have two Pesukim. The previous Pesuk that we talked about from where we derived the idea of 4 Amas, that is a Deoraisa. And there it says, Shvu Ish Tachtav. The Shvu Ish Tachtav is referring to people who had gone out on Shabbos to be able to find man. They were outside of the Tchum. So there, Moshe said, you can't move. Sit there the rest of the day. Shvu Ish Tachtav. But for people that were in the Machane Yisrael, there he said, Ayet Yetse Ish Mimekomo. Now the Mimekomo, that's a different issue. Mimekomo. That refers to what defines your mokom, not directly underneath your body, which is 4 amas. And that is a reference to the Alpayim Amma. And how do we get Alpayim Amma from nowhere? Says Rav Chisda, what do you mean from nowhere? It's very clear. You simply have a series of 5 psukim that if you put them all together and you link A to B and B to C and C to D and D to E, you end up with figuring out why it is that you get exactly Alpayim Amma. And here's how it goes. First, we have a pasuk that we just quoted. It says, Mokom, right? Ish Mimekomo. Okay. So, Mokom, we learn out from a different pasuk where it also says Mokom. But in that pasuk where it says Mokom, it says, Vasamti Lecha Mokom Asher Yonus Shama. So, over there, it uses the word to run away to, right? Now, once I have the word run away, that links to another pasuk of run away. So, Nisa. I learned from Anisa, Samti Lecha Makom, Asher Yonus Shama. And then it talks about Im Yotso Yotseha Rotseach, if the guy goes out of the Gvul of his Ir Miklat Asher Yonus Shama. So now we have a relationship of running away, Nisa, to the concept of a Gvul. So Nisa, we learn out from Gvul. Now, once we have a Gvul, we can learn it out from another pasuk that mentions Gvul. And in that pasuk, it talks about a concept of chutz, because over there it says, Umados michutz le'iret pa'at kedma alpayim amma. So chutz, we can learn from chutz, where it says, Beferish, Umadotem pa'at kedma alpayim ba'amma. It says, Beferish, that there's a din of Alpayim. Now, this is talking about where you've got the Orei Halavim. So the Orei Halavim, the Torah says, you have the right of Alpayim Amos that you're allowed to go give them out of Eretz Yisrael. Not allowed, but chuyav to give them, that should be their area as well. So if that's the case, and then that means that we have a Gezerah Shava, ultimately, from Makom to the word Alpayim. So the Shvu Ish Tachtav is the 4 Amas, and I say Ish Mimokom, defined by this 5-step Gezerah Shava, as counting 2,000 Amas outside of the Ir Halavim, and then that's fine. And it shows that there's 2,000 Amas. Now, over there, by the way, just that we're going to need to know for later, that it says over there to count the Alpayim Amos from the different sides. And it mentions the various sides over there, which mean that we measure the Alpayim Amos not in a circle, but we measure those Alpayim Amos in a square that is squared along the way in which the world is. In other words, the Arba, the four directions that we measure in the world around us. So that's going to turn out to be very important. The question is that it also says by the Orei Halavim, it says the pasuk of Mikira Irvechutza Elef Amah, and from that we learn, remember, that there's supposed to be 1,000 amas of parkland that is not allowed to be used for anything else. And then beyond that, there's another 1,000 amas which are used for agricultural purposes and so on, right? So one of them says, Migrashei Arima Shetitnula Leviim Mikira Irvachutza Elef Amas Aviv. Ask the Gemara, if it says Mikira Irvachutza Elef Ama, what right do we have to say it's Alpayim? That's because one pasuk says, Vichutsa, and the other one says Michutz, and we're trying to learn Gzeira Shava from Chutz, right? Michutz le'ir miklato. So then you can't learn Gzeira Shava from a pasuk that says Vichutsa elef ama. You have to learn it from a pasuk that says Chutz. So donim Chutz bichutz ve'in donim Chutz bichutz. What? That's not true. Gzeira Shavas are not like literally the same language. As a matter of fact, they don't even have to be the same word, as we know very well from the famous Gzeira Shava that Rabbi Shmuel spoke about the dinim of Tzaraas Habayit. We learn out from one pasuk says Vishava Kohen, and one pasuk says Uba HaKohen, and Rabbi Shmuel says that's Gzeira Shava, because Shav is Ba. I mean, what's the difference? If he comes the first time, he's coming back. I mean, basically, it's the Kohen coming. So, I mean, it's absurd to say that we can't learn Chutz from Chutzah. That's crazy. If we can even learn Ba from Shav, obviously we can learn Chutz from Chutzah, says the Gemara. Yes, but as you know, this din that it does not have to be precise is true. However, if there are multiple possibilities, then you choose the best fit. That's the point. So yes, you can go all the way down to Veshav HaKohen and Ba HaKohen, but that's only where you don't have anything that fits better. So if you have an exact fit or a closer fit, you take the closest fit for your Gzeira Shava, and that certainly is not something that Rabbi Shmuel was arguing on. Now, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, very fundamental machlokas. According to Rabbi Hanina ben Atignes, it says that the 2,000 amas are basically measured from the point where you are in all directions. So that means it's a circle around you. The Chachamim say, no, it's actually a square. Now, basically, the Pasuk really did define a square, because the Pasuk mentioned the north side and the south side and the east side and the west side, and to draw the 2,000 amas in a line along those directions. So if that's the case, something is strange about Rabbi Hanina ben Atignas' Shita, because Rabbi Hanina ben Atignas has got to make up his mind. I mean, either he learns out the din of Shabbos of Alpayim Amah from this Gzeira Shava, or he doesn't. If he does learn it out from the Gzeira Shava, then the Gzeira Shava is very specific about its being a square. And if he doesn't learn it out from this Gzeira Shava, then how the heck does he know it at all? Where does it ever say anything about 2,000 amas? So Rabbi Hanina ben Atignas, and Manavshach, if he holds the Gzeira Shava, it says the various four corners, the peyot. If he doesn't hold the Gzeira Shava, how does he even know the din of Alpayim Amah in the first place? Says the Gemara, Leolam Itle Gzeira Shava. He does hold of the Gzeira Shava, except he holds that the din of peyot do not apply to Shabbos. Why? Because he says in the Gzeira Shava proper, the Pasuk made it clear that the concept of squares are only nogea the migrashei arei halaviim. Because it says in the Pasuk, ze yelahem migrashei ha'arim. And that word ze means specifically, leze, in this specific case of the migrashei arei halaviim, atanoten peot. You have to do it in a square. But not in other cases that you're deriving from here, And when it comes to the question of what a mokum is in general, such as the Tum of Shabbos or the Dinim of Shabbos, over there you do not have the limud. So how did the Rabbanan explain that? Doesn't it say ze, which means specific? Tani Rav Chananya Omer, on the contrary, the Rabbanan learn out from ze a tremendous chiddush. Now, what this means is that they learn out from here the definition of the D'oraisa concept of what we view as a mokum for Shabbos. And that is in terms of carrying for Shabbos and so on, as we'll see. So since it says ze, what it means is, I am defining, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am defining for you how to measure. So if I'm defining for you how to measure, and I'm telling you that measurements have to be done as a square, then that teaches you that all of the measurements that are given for the Dinim of Shabbos are actually given as the square, that is to say, as the diagonal of a square to the shear that is mentioned. So for instance, says Rav Achra Yaakov, if you are going to carry, we said, if somebody is Mavir Arba Ames Mirshus Harabim, right? So we understood from the idea of Shvu Ish Tachtav, there's a concept of Arba Ames, and that defined for us a D'oraisa, for sure. Nothing to do with Tchomim, which is a question of Bichlal, whether the Torah ever really meant you can't leave your place. But certainly Benogea, the idea of Hotsa, which we learn out directly from the Mishkan and from the Ramazim and the Tupsukim of Ayetzei, Yishal Yotzi, and so on. So if you're going to be carrying in Rosh Hashanah 4 amas, you will not be chayev if you carry 4 amas. You will only be chayev if you carry the diagonal of a square of 4 amas, which means that since, as far as the Torah is concerned, the diagonal of a square is the square root, that is to say, of 2 is 1.4, and we have a right to use a approximation. So that means that you won't be chayev unless you carry 5.6 amas. So that basically you've got an extra amazing amount of space, right? Shnei shlish, essentially. So you've got 5.6 amas that you're able, that's 5 3/5 of an amma you'd be allowed to carry. Now, there's a big machlokas how this works. According to Rashi and according to the Rambam, the way that this works is that we take the overall concept of the peot that are given over here, and we say that what you need to have, therefore, is an inscribed square within the circle. The inscribed square is a 4x4 square, which is the shear of the Shvu Ish Tachtav. And then what that means is that for all intents and purposes, we've now created a circle where it's not 4 amas, but rather 5.6 amas that is the diameter of the circle because of the diagonal of the square, which was 4x4, and we're giving it a value of 5.6, that diagonal. That's the hypotenuse of the triangle that was the two sides were 4. So according to this, every direction that you carry in would only be mechayev you if it was 5.6 amas. The Tosfos, however, and other Rishonim, say that since the Makor of the Limud is from the Peyot that are given by the Orei Halavim, where do you get the right to inscribe a square in a circle? That wasn't what the Pasuk was talking about. So although, indeed, there is a din of a square of 4x4, but wherever you are, that square is defined by the directions of your compass. So in other words, if you are throwing northeast, northwest, and so on, so then you have 5.6 amas. But if you're throwing due north, due east, due west, and so on, then you're still the 4 amas because that's your square. Okay, that's not how we paskin. But in any event, there are serious shitot like that. Omer of Papa. Now, Rav Papa says, Rava gave us once a trick question. And he talked about the case that we've had many times. You have this amud. So you have a post in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. It's 10 tvachim high, and it's 4 tvachim wide. So the question is, Is that considered to be a Rishus Hayachid? We always thought that was considered to be Rishus Hayachid. And the question would be, how about if it's a pole? How about if it's round? So what exactly would be the shear? Would we actually need the full shear of Hein Va'alach Sonam? So that would mean that in actuality, you would have to have a Mokum that would also have ultimately the 5 3/5 as well. So does it have to be a square? And that would mean, in other words, at least doesn't have to literally be a square, but it would have to be able to have a square inscribed in it or not. And we answered him. We understood what he wanted to know. He wanted to know whether we fully understood that what Rav Chananya had said is that the limud of Zeh in the Arei, in the Migrashei Arei Halaviyim, was that kol kazeyu kol shovsei Shabbos. That's the point. If you're telling me all the dinim of Shabbos need to be a 4x4 square, not a circle, so then enochinami, you would only be able to be mechayev this as a real rishus hayachid if it stuck to that. And it had to be, therefore, a square of 4x4. Again, question whether that needs to be inscribed or directly according to the directions of the world. That's the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Now, let us get... Okay, so this is very fundamental. I mean, this like changes everything we thought we knew about Hotzah and Shabbos, right? Turns out we're redefining the nature of the Hotzah, of the Shiurim that we were given. Now let's get to the ambiguity that we noted in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is really, really confusing because the Mishnah talks about this very special case. It starts off talking about a guy's on the road. He can't reach the place where he wants to be shoviz. He's telling me this tremendous chiddush that it is possible to put an Erev somewhere as a completely virtual Erev. You don't have any food to put there, and you haven't even put your feet there. So you weren't Ma'ariv Baragla, but you're creating this virtual Erev by this ability to apparate to that place, so to speak, and be kena amakam shvisa there. Tremendous chiddush. Okay. And then it says that if you can't get there or you don't know the halacha, so then you don't have a well-defined place or you don't know this halacha about apparating, so then you can be kona shvisa in your place without any food simply by being there. Rabbi Meir then goes ahead and says, yeah, but this is only true for an ani, or a traveler who's an ani. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's good for anybody. What were they talking about? Were they talking about the very unusual case that's only for an ani? Meaning this idea of being able to apparate because you're on the road. So that they gave as a special dispensation. And that's what Rabbi Meir is saying. But he's not disagreeing that if a person stam walks out of his house before Shabbos and he stays at the Mokum Shvisa until it gets dark, he's not saying that that's only kosher for an ani, is he? Maybe he is. In other words, if the machlokas over here is what is the primary tikkun of Erevin? Is it a tikkun in terms of food or is it a tikkun in terms of your presence? He might be arguing about the whole deal. He might be saying, forget about this special case. For sure that's only for an ani. But the idea even of being able to have a Mokum Shvisa where you didn't put food down to make that Mokum Shvisa, that is a special din as well for an ani. Or maybe they're only arguing about the special case, not in the case of a regular guy who's actually there. So what are the words? The words in the Mishnah go like this. Zehu sha'amro, this is, I don't know what this is referring to, but this is the case where Chazal say that an ani and only an ani is ma'ariv baraglov, which seems to be saying the whole idea, not the apparating case, right? Just the fact that I'm there, he can be ma'ariv baraglov. And Rabbi Meir says, yes, indeed, that is an ani and only an ani. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, what do you mean? It's good for anybody. So the question is, what exactly are they arguing about? So Omer of Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, the way I understand the Mishnah is like this. The machlokas is where a guy says, I want the Erev to be where I am standing. Now, I don't have food, okay? So I'm only being Ma'ariv Baraklav. And even in this case, forget about the apparating. That's totally crazy. But even in this case, Rabbi Meir says, look, the Rabbana made a takona bepat. It's not that there's really a way to be Ma'ariv Baraklav. The whole takana of Erev was to put down food in the place. If a person does not have any food, what's he supposed to do? So in that special case, the Rabbanan allowed you to actually make an Erev, even though you don't have food. But they only did this for an ani, who doesn't have food. But for an usher, we have our normal halacha. You want an Erev, you bring food there. I don't care whether you go out there yourself or whether you go out, you send the Erev, whatever it is, you definitely need to put food down in the Makom Shvisa in order for it to be a Makom Shvisa. And according to the way I understand it, that Rabbi Yehuda is actually, he holds on the contrary. This is a big machlokas, the way Rabbi Nachman understands it, about what the nature of the takana of Erevin is. So Rabbi Meir holds the ikar takana of Erevin is food. Rabbi Yehuda holds the ikar takana of Erevin is beregel. And therefore, either an ani or an ashir is certainly able to create a makom shvisa by being physically present. The case where we're talking about, which is makom ploni, that he says, I'm not there physically, but I'm going to apparate there to put my Erev there, so to speak. There, Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue with Rabbi Meir. There, Rabbi Yehuda understands, well, that's a wild case. Normally speaking, you can't be sitting comfortably in your living room watching TV and say, let's see, I don't want to bother putting an Erev down, so I'm going to apparate to that tree that I know of, which is 2,000 amas outside of my time, and I'm putting my Erev there. No. That's the takana for people who are on the road. That's what we mean, that's what they were talking about, that everybody would agree. But the fundamental machlokas was about the actual ikar din, about whether you can make an Erev by being somewhere, even if you are physically there, not apparating. So that's one way of understanding the Mishnah. That's Rav Nachman's approach to the Mishnah. And then when the Mishnah says, yes, indeed, Vizohi Shamru, this is what we were talking about, that you can make an Erev an Ani, is Ma'ariv Baraglav. So who was the author of that statement then? It would only be true according to Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not true. Anybody can make an Erev with your feet. And what is the case that the Mishnah is referring to when it says, and this is the case? It's referring to the part of the Mishnah that says that if he doesn't know any tree or place that he could apparate to, or he doesn't know the halacha, so then he gets his Erev in his place. That's what it's referring to. That din, that you can get an Erev in your place without actually putting down food, that is what the Rabbanan were saying, according to Rabbi Meir, is only true about an ani. Okay, so then the next piece in the Mishnah says, this halacha that you could be ma'ariv bepat, that's a kula for a rich man that doesn't want to have to walk all the way out to make the Erev. Obviously, who said that? Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that, on the contrary, the Iker Erev is to be there. And this idea, Ma'arav and Bapat, says Rabbi Yehuda, that is a special kula, the opposite of Rabbi Meir. So this is the one approach that we have to understanding the way that the Mishnah is arguing, and that's Rabbi Nachman's approach. Rabbi Chista has a totally different approach to the Mishnah. According to him, the case is that they're arguing about somebody who wants to apparate, and that is a weird case. So there we find the machlokas. Rabbi Meir says, no, I mean, this idea that you can apparate somewhere where you're not even there physically, that was a special takana that was made for a person, a poor person on the road, and there's nothing that he can do. But for someone who can make a normal Erev, he can't do that. And Rabbi Yehuda says, even that, even apparating, is something that is open both to an ani and to an usher. But a regular guy who's in the place where he wants, he says, here I am, and I want this to be my makam, there Rabbi Meir also agrees. Of course that's good, because everyone, according to this approach of Rav Chista, everyone agrees that the ikar takana of Erevin was where you are. And this idea of food for an Erev is just an extension to make life easier for an Ani. And that means that Rav Chista sees the statements that follow in the Mishnah the exact opposite way that we just explained it according to Rav Nachman. And that is like this. The case in the Mishnah says, and this is the case for Zohisha Amru. So who said that case? What was it referring to? Obviously, it was talking about the guy who was apparating. And who says the Zohi Sha'amro? Rabbi Meir says it, but referring to which case? Ha'ikai? On the case we just mentioned, the first case in the Mishnah, the guy's on the road, and it's got dark, and he's not going to be able to make it. So then that means that the next part of the Mishnah that says, and this idea that you can use food for an Erev, that's not the main din of the Erev, that's an extension of Erev to make life lahakel, to make life easier for people who don't want to bother walking out there, and they can send it by get taxi and get it out to their whatever. So who said that? Everybody. Everybody said that, because according to this approach, the halacha that the main Erev is by using your feet, everybody agrees to that. This is how Rav Chisda understood it. So we don't have to say that this is referring specifically to this. I mean, obviously, Rav Yehuda also agrees that it's not a normal Erev to apparate, but he still is not going to be the author of that first statement in the Mishnah, right? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it may not be normal, but it's not limited. Okay, so now we have two totally different approaches to the Mishnah, and we have a Braita that takes Rabbi Nachman's approach to the Mishnah, that there's a fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about what the nature of Erevin is. Is it by being there, or is it by putting food down there? So Tanya Kavasi to Rabbi Nachman. Echad ani, v'echad ashir, anybody can make an Erev with bread. And the person who has bread cannot, an usher, cannot go out on a Friday afternoon, go out chutz l'trum without bread, and say, okay, I am here, and this is my mokum shvisa. Why? Because that special din of Ma'arvin Berego, by just being present, that was only said in special cases for somebody who was Baba Derech V'chashcha, and he doesn't have any food. So says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, anybody can be Ma'arv Berego. You see immediately that this is Rabbi Nachman's approach, right? This Braita is fully Rabbi Nachman. The machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is a fundamental machlokas. Can you make, forget about operating, can you make an Erev by simply being somewhere? And therefore, according to this Braita, Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter. Anybody could be Ma'ariv Beregel, and therefore an usher certainly can go out on a Friday afternoon, take a stroll, not bother bringing any food there, and he says, here I am. He sits there until Shabbos is Chal, Te'esh Shvitati B'Komi. As a matter of fact, says Rabbi Yehuda, this is the whole point of Erev. The main Erev was this. Zohi Ikaro Shel Eruv. That's the whole basis of Erev. They extended the din of an Erev. If a guy is a rich man, he's got lots of food, he doesn't have time to go running around. So he tiru chachamim l'bal habayit lishloach Erevo. If he can afford it, he can send his Erev there by get taxi, whatever, biad avdo, biad beno, biad shlucho. That was only to make life easier. It was a pishvil hakel alav. But certainly the main issue is the way I'm saying it, is going out there beregel. It's absurd to say an usher shouldn't do it. That's the best way to do it. On the contrary, and I can tell you, continues the bride, that a rebuta says, I can tell you that people accepted this psak as a dover parshat. I mean, it used to be that all of those people in Beit Memel, in Beit Gurion, and all of this was in the town of Aroma, which afterwards they turned into coffee shops. Shoyu mechalkin grogrot v'tzimukim. So they used to give out over there these dried figs and these raisins together with the coffee to the aniyim, b'shnei batzoret, and the aniyim would come all the way from Kfar Shichin and all the way from Kfar Hananya, and they would all come, even though that was 4,000 away, 4,000 amas away, they would all come to Aroma, and they would, how did they manage to do that? Machshichin alatchum, they would wait there. And then the next day they would come in. We're certainly not going to assume that these people literally didn't have food to make an Erev for Shabbos. I mean, this is where their homes were. This is the norm, and this is the way that they do it. So you see that it was taken for granted, the halachas like me, that people who wanted to travel to Aroma would simply stand by the trum in the evening. Omer Ravashi, Masnisin nami daika. You can show this from the Mishnah that we're about to learn tomorrow. The Mishnah says, also Reb Nachman's approach, as far as I see, it's meduyak, but the Mishnah says over there, somebody is going out on Friday, and he sets out to go to another city, okay? And it was a city within range of an Erev, but not a city within range without an Erev. So it was outside of 2,000 amos, within 4,000 amos, right? Anyway, he's on his way, and he gets a phone call from a friend of his who says, listen, you know, I wanted to come over for Shabbos. I'm in town. At least I want to see you. You know, how about not going out now to over there? So the guy turns around, and he goes back to his house. The din is that on Shabbos, he can leave his home and go the 4,000 amas to the other city because he actually had already been Yotzi L'derech, and he had in mind that he wants to, some learned actually said, that he wants to be able to be there in time, in within the tchum of an extra Erev to get to the other city. But the rest of the people who didn't begin to travel there, they can't just say that they want to go there. So says Rabbi Yehuda. So, okay, so Rashi says it's talking about over here that the guy actually said, right? I want my Mokum Shvisa to be at the gas station that was on the way to the other city. He knew exactly what he was going. Otherwise, I mean, we'll see that there's a little bit of an issue as Rashi defines the Mishnah that way. And over here, it's not what Rashi apparently he says, that he could simply go there because he was on the way. Okay, but Rashi talks it out in the actual Mishnahs. We'll see tomorrow. And so we asked over there, why is he different than everybody else in town? I mean, if they wanted to go also, and Ravuna said that this is a special case. The special case is that this guy has two homes. He has a home in one town, town A, and he has another home in town B, which is within 4,000 amas of town A. So sometimes he spends Shabbos in his house in town B. Sometimes he spends Shabbos in his house in town A. And everybody who knows Gabi knows that he has exactly the situation, right? So he's got one house in Spring Glen. He's got one house in Harrison. Sometimes goes to one, sometimes goes to the other, and can start out on Erev Shabbos to go from one to the other one. So therefore, if there's two Tchumei Shabbos B'neihem, so there's up to 4,000 amas between them. So this guy who was going out to his other home, given an afkele urcha, he's a real traveler because he's honestly going to that house, right? And therefore he becomes an ani. And so for him, the idea that he's going to have a mokum shvisa at the gas station, which is midway between the two homes, that would be a perfectly kosher Erev. But everybody else, they never started out. They didn't get into their car and start moving. So they're not considered to be real travelers. And if they're not real travelers, then they're Ashirim. And therefore, they cannot go ahead and make the gas station the place of their Mokum Shvisa. So what do you see from there? That if a guy would say that I want a place in the gas station from far away, then it's a person that can do that is only a person who's an ani. But a person who is an usher can't do that, right? Because they're considered to be ashirim. But Rabbi, according to Rav Chista, he said, Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter whether you're an ani and an usher in that case. It doesn't matter whether you're an ani or an usher. It's exactly the same. The takana of apparating and the takana of putting something there, that is open to you. So Shmamina, it's very clear from the Mishnah, at least from the way we understood the Mishnah, it was the only way we could explain the Mishnah, said Ravuna, that Reb Nachman is 100% right. And in fact, this is another example of where Reb Chiya Bar Ashi was teaching the Mishnayos as the personal tutor to Chiya Bar Rav, and Rav, as usual, was listening in. And so he taught him, he said over the words that Echad Ani, V'Echad Ashir, Divrei Reb Yehuda. So he said those words, and the voice of Rav comes from the other room, Omale Rav, and finish correctly. Sayemba Nami, Halacha Reb Yehuda. He has to know that that is actually the halacha. And again, I mean, according to Reb Nachman, Rashi says that we pasken like that again, that what we're talking about is Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if you make your mokum where you're at, because that's the way that Reb Nachman understood it,